Just like to read a few verses from Galatians chapter 1. Just from verses 6 to 10, since our text is just one verse. So we read in Ephesians about the gospel, that it's the gospel of peace. But in Galatians, it's a unique gospel, not many gospels. And that is brought out very clearly by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, where he says, I marvel, I'm shocked, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So far the reading of God's word, and we turn back to our text this morning, which is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, as we continue our studies on the armor of God. And so Paul continues and says in Ephesians 6 verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Dear people of God, Paul, in order to prepare believers for this life and service in this hostile an alien world dominated by the powers of evil, provides a most wonderful image of a soldier and his armor as a way of illustrating our spiritual need of protection and preparation for service. And he has spoken about the guiding and regulating principle of the Christian, namely the truth of God, the Bible. Abandon the truth of God's word and the church and each Christian with it falls, suffering unspeakable confusion and misery. To abandon the foundation of God's word is to be on sinking sand. He also spoke about the breastplate of righteousness so that we may be protected against the myriad ways in which Satan seeks to destabilize us in the area of our feelings, our emotions, our experiences. Satan seeks to confuse and confound us so that we begin to doubt even our own salvation. Nothing could be more disturbing and disarming for the believers. But now Paul turns our attention to another piece of the soldier's armor, namely footwear. He speaks about having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now in our day and age, of course, shoes are a big business. Let us be reminded that the important thing here is the feet, not the shoes. It's to help the feet, not make you look good. We see how shoes are more fashion statements than comfort and protection. In fact, many shoes do damage to the feet and destabilize us. As long as we don't move, we can look good. But try running in high heels and you realize they're not so good. So Paul isn't concerned about fashion. He's concerned about preparing us, equipping us. It's all about the fact that feet need to be provided and protected so that they might be able to do what they're supposed to do. Give us stability and mobility. Feet are involved with the gospel of peace. Our feet need to be equipped and prepared for the gospel of peace. After all, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. After all, Paul does say, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. We need to be equipped and prepared for the task that God has given us as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. So the first thing then that we focus upon in this subject is the fact that we have to take a stand. We have to take a stand. We need to stand in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have strength. And the sandals worn by the Roman soldiers consisted of a very sturdy sole, the bottom, which were tied to the feet with straps. It also had studs on the bottom. This piece of the armor provided steadiness so that a person could stand firm and secure. Often if you watch sports, you see how important footwear is, especially in regard to stability. In different weather conditions, teams need to change their shoes. Otherwise they can't stand. They can't move. And so you have these pliers, and they have all these shoes, and they go in, and if they're playing tennis, for example, if they're on clay, they will wear certain types of shoes. If they're on hard court, they'll wear different kinds, and if they're on grass, they will wear different shoes. Because it's all about stability and mobility. If you cannot stand securely, you will be useless and in danger of falling and defeat. But also sandals provide protection from rough terrain, as well as tactics of enemies. I read that the enemies that would scatter on the area that they were going to fight, that they would bury sharp objects, almost like thumbtacks, right, with the pointers up, so that soldiers that weren't equipped would tread on those things and damage their feet and be susceptible then to infection. And so these things were given so that they would not only have stability of mobility, but also protection against damage done to their feet. But also sandals were important in terms of movement. Soldiers had to move. Armies had to move quickly. And so they had to have shoes that would allow them to move. Not heavy boots that they could hardly go through certain terrains. And so these advantages, this piece of the armor, is alerting us to the fact that there are spiritual preparations that are important for you and for me. The Bible constantly calls Christians to stand firm in the faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Paul specifically applies this to the whole gospel message in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, of which I read. Paul had to stand against false teachers and their gospel even in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm shocked. I'm bewildered that you are so quickly departing from the gospel that I preached to you. I came and taught you. And now I'm gone, and you've gone to some other gospel, which isn't a gospel at all. It is not true. It's a false gospel. But you've given in. You've moved your stance. Instead of standing solidly on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have opted for another gospel. People of God, there are so many, so many in the world in which we live that want to exchange the gospel that you have for some other gospel. They'd be so happy with you if you took away some of the things that you stand on. They're so repugnant. They're so offensive to them that they want you to change those things. But there are others that just want to tweak it a little bit. But in tweaking it a little bit, they damage the whole thing. And so Paul has to remind them of how important it is for us to take a principled stand on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we believe. And as we say, it's not up for negotiations. We don't want the world to sit with us and say, what do you think, you like it? Or should we change it a little bit? We don't care what the world thinks. We don't stand on their wisdom. We stand on the wisdom that is from God in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not up for negotiations. Take your stand. That's what the devil is going to come to you with. You can't go to the world with this gospel. Are you kidding me? No one's going to listen to that gospel. That's the way liberalism brought in their changes. You can't talk to the people of the world about miracles and all of these things that Jesus did. They're not going to listen to you. It's going to be like somebody that says, I believe in aliens. Well, that is not so strange to the world these days, is it? They talk about it all the time. There's life out there. There's life out there. And that's what the liberals said. We have to let go of these supernatural stuff in the Bible. The world isn't going to accept that. So is the world going to accept God in the flesh? If they can't accept miracles, you expect them to believe in God coming down and becoming human? The whole Bible is supernatural beyond this world. No, we have to take our stand on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you unmovable when it comes to the infallibility of the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? That's where you need to take your stand. No, it doesn't need tweaking. It doesn't need changing for the 21st century. It's been solid all along. The Lord Jesus Christ is God Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ did take on humanity. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ did die on the cross to forgive our sins, to pay for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ did rise bodily from the grave. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is where you and I need to stand and not take one step to the left or the right. As Luther put it, here I stand. I can do no other. That's where we need to be. That's what it means to be shod with a gospel. If you are not knowledgeable about the gospel and convicted of its truth, such that you stand for it in the face of challenges, then your stand is vulnerable. Then there's going to come a time when the words that Paul speaks are applicable to you. I am shocked. I am bewildered. I'm flabbergasted that you
have changed. That you've gone after another gospel when there is no other gospel.
Our Lord Jesus Christ resisted all encroachments to the gospel by the Jewish leaders, but also from his disciples, like Peter, who disagreed with the wisdom of going to Jerusalem and being killed by the Jewish leaders as a sacrifice for our sins. This isn't going to happen to you, Jesus. I mean, I know you're a great teacher and everything, and we're kind of dull in comparison to you, but in this case, I've got it right and you've got it wrong. Remember what Jesus said? Get thee behind me, Satan. For you do not mind the things of God, but the things of men. Are you standing firm in the faith? Or are you someone that blows in the wind? The world doesn't like it. Okay, I'm not going to talk about that. Or we'll tweak it a little bit. No, no, no. It's not for you to tweak the gospel. The gospel is given to us by God himself. No, we have to stand firm in the faith. Does the world intimidate you? Don't change. Are you ashamed of Christ and his word? Don't be. Like the Apostle Paul, let us say with full conviction in our hearts that I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. We are to remain firm, not only in our beliefs, but in our conduct. We are called to watch and pray, lest we fall into temptation. People of God, the world will make it so easy for you to change. Change this, change that. This makes sense. This is a wise way to go. Don't be too harsh. Don't be so rigid. People of God, that's where we're going to take our stand. It doesn't matter what they say. We are to walk circumspectly, carefully, being mindful of the ways of the world and the devil that they seek to trip us up. No, we're called to walk worthy. We're called to remain grounded and steadfast, not to be cheated by deceit of the world. We're to walk in wisdom and not be fooled by the devil, who comes to us as an angel of light. Satan is eager for you to lose your balance and to fall, to suffer injury. But we must make sure that our footing is sure by always being rooted and grounded in the truth, and in particular, the gospel of peace. Are you walking in that way? Are you remaining steadfast? If you don't, you're going to fall. Are you walking with shoes that will keep you from stumbling, rather than being tossed around by every wind of doctrine? Not only are we to pursue, to stand firm, to take a stand, but we're to pursue the gospel. The sandals and shoes are good, but they are used for a purpose. We use them when we go out to protect our feet and to enable us to take a certain path. So it's vital for a Christian in the church to know its calling. What use is it if we are going to be uncertain in terms of our work or our mission? Any army that does not know where it's heading and by what plan is doomed to failure. As I said, Jesus faced many challenges to his ministry. There were the Jewish priests that would have gladly enlisted Jesus into their ranks if only he would have adopted their methods and goals. Even the devil came with that. Why don't you just feed the people? Turn these stones into bread. That will really be successful. Why don't you
Enamor the people by your acts. Jump down from the pinnacle of the temple. All of these kingdoms will be yours. That's what you're after. I'll give them to you. Just do one thing. Bow down before me. Compromise everything that you believe and who you are, and you can have all of these things. That's what the world says. Let go of these old-fashioned ideas, and we will embrace you with loving arms. Abandon all of these things, and you can have fun in your life. Freedom. But no. It was a trap. And the Lord Jesus Christ fended it off powerfully. It is written. It is written, he says to the devil three times. Paul was mindful of such dangers as he battled with false teachers who had their own views of the gospel and its purpose. They emphasized circumcision. They emphasized ceremonies of the law as well as works. And in our day, there are many alternate gospels that the world and other churches, unfortunately, seek for us to adopt. The social gospel, which wants Christians and churches to basically interpret the gospel as improving the social conditions of the people around us. Just do that, the world says to us. Just concern yourself with helping people and we'll be happy. I mean, who isn't happy with the Salvation Army? I mean, who isn't happy? Does the world criticize the Salvation Army? No. I went onto their website. It's all about helping people. Give us your money. We'll do this. We'll do. There wasn't a statement, one statement, about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, about the forgiveness of sins. The greatest need that people have, they had nothing to say. But you can see how well they're received by the world. I mean, it's just as popular as the Red Cross. I mean, why we have the Red Cross, I don't know. They're just as popular. Because the gospel has been changed. The gospel has been changed. It's not that we don't love people, you understand. It's not that we don't want to help people. The church does a lot. But our stand is about the spiritual welfare of people. It's bringing them into peace with God. It's to get their sins forgiven. That's what it's about. But they want to change the focus. Change the stones into bread, the devil says. Just take care of people's needs, says the world. That's good. We'll praise you for that. And that's true. But it will not bring peace into their heart. It will not guarantee them, as it were, a place in the family of God. So by all means, alleviate the suffering around us. But don't be so cruel and so confused that you have nothing to say about the greatest need that they have, which is their sin. No, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others that have a liberation theology kind of gospel, political thing. They're all about setting people free from the burdens and the bondages that they live under. And again, it's not that we have no concern about those things. I mean, the church doesn't say, let's just all stay together in our country and let's just be happy with one another. I mean, the religious Christians are concerned about nations where leaders kill their people and persecute their people. They are. But that's not the gospel. And many engage in those things and they have nothing to do with the Bible. They're all about bringing political change. whether it's here in this country or whether it's here in other countries. And they think the fact that they're helping people get free, that that is the gospel itself. Well, this country is free in terms of politically. Do they have a wonderful life? Is that what we want to bring people to? The people around us are suffering. Because though they have freedom, so-called, they are drowning in their sin. Yes, we need to be concerned about these things, but that isn't the gospel. The gospel is about our sins. The gospel is about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with God Himself. We have to be careful that the gospel is not hijacked. We have to be careful that Christians are not hijacked and churches are not hijacked, so that they become instruments of these movements and we become welfare centers where we just help people and we just congratulate ourselves that we're helping people. That's not what we're about. Or maybe more precisely, let me say, that is not all that we are about. But it's how you may be right with God. That's what we cannot let become silent. And so beware of churches that will keep Christians busy. And churches will be busy. And they'll be on this political action committee or that particular social work. No, no, no. We love people. And we will help them as we do. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will never compromise. It is far too precious. It is far too needed by us. Jesus came to earth, he says, to save sinners. That's what he said. He came to save sinners. He never let Satan or his disciples or the Jewish leaders sway him from his primary focus. He alerted his parents that he must be about his father's business. He shunned and rejected the devil's alternative gospels. Jesus was firm against his own disciples that sought to change his path. His face was set like a flint towards Jerusalem. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to bring us into peace with God the Father, that we might not perish in eternal condemnation, but rather that we might be changed. As followers, then, we must not shift that gospel and that path. We are to go into all the world and bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going out there to promote and export democracy, even though we like that. We're there to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that not bring food or clothing, even though that is helpful, but bring the good news of the gospel. The gospel shone brightest not when Jesus fed the 5,000 or the 4,000. The gospel shone the brightest not when he healed the sick or even raised the dead. The gospel shone the brightest when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins and to unite us to his Father. People of God, the Lamb is all the glory. The Lamb is all the glory. The cross is the glory of the gospel. And finally, we are to promote peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. If we want to be on guard against Satan's neutralizing alternate gospels, we must recognize that peace with God comes only through a person. Through a person. More precisely, through the sacrifice of that person to satisfy the justice of God. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, He himself is our peace. He himself is our peace. It is only through Christ that we can be reconciled to God. The moment we fail to preach Christ and him crucified, we have become destabilized such that not only are we in danger, but we are of no use to those around us. God's method of reconciling sinners to himself is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish leaders wanted Jesus' disciples to do what? First and foremost, stop speaking about him. Don't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was such an offense. But as the disciples said to them, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. We cannot help but speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a proclamation of peace. Paul is clear both in Ephesians and Corinthians that the main focus of his ministry was that people must be reconciled to God. Not people have better food. Not people have better clothes. Not people have more freedom, even though all of those things have relative importance. The most important thing is that people be reconciled to God. That's what we need. And that happens only through the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul makes it very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We plead with you. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what we have to tell people. We have a path by which you may be reconciled to the Almighty God. Not a pathway that you may get to him. Not do these things and maybe in the end you will. No, no, no. Now, having been justified by faith, we have access to God. Do you have access to God? I don't want to hear about what you do and how you feel. I just want to know one thing. Do you have access to God? That's what the gospel gives. That's what the death of the Lord Jesus Christ gives. That's what we preach to the world all around us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That's what we are. That's what you can be. And it brings peace into your life. People of God, life is full of struggles and trials. And Satan came and disrupted the peace in paradise in shifting Eve's focus to personal ambition. And Satan continues to point to our trials and struggles and persecution and hardship as a means to making us discontent and ready to compromise God's word and our only solid foundation. How can you trust this thing? Look at the disease that you have. How can you trust in the Bible? What is God doing for you? Look at the things that you need. Look at the problems that you have. Give it up. Here's another way to do it. Not at all. God's redemptive peace is what our hearts need to fill the void. This peace that God gives us through the forgiveness of sins and us being reconciled to him leads us to regard, to look at these trials in a different light. These trials and persecutions, as Paul says, this light and momentary affliction is not worth comparing to the eternal weight of glory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It leads us to face death all day long. It caused Stephen and all the martyrs since to lay down their lives for him who laid down his life for our peace. People of God, let us stand on such peace and press it upon others and rest in it in life and in death. Amen. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you dress us in your armor to protect us against this world and the devil. It is so full of lies, so full of gospels that are empty and void, because they are simply the products of man's foolish thinking. But we're so thankful that for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as Paul says, he did not learn it from others, but rather it was revealed to him from you, our Father in heaven. And we're thankful for your word that teaches us about this gospel. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we may stand fully and squarely on your word and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we might be light and salt to the world by proclaiming this gospel that will fill the void and remove the misery and the danger that this world is in. We're thankful for the fact that you have placed our feet on solid ground. And Lord, we pray that we may know that strength as we go into this week, and that we might speak clearly to those that are perishing, so that they too might be saved. For we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.